Welcome back to another episode of the Shine Podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Starr. I do have to tell you right now, as I'm recording this intro, I have my new 9-week-old puppy sitting in my lap. So I'm hoping he's going to behave for this little section, but I'm so excited for the guest today. I have Lauren Coulson here on the show, and we're going to chat all about money checkups, how to find money leaks in your business, not working 24/7, and even where to budget some money for success and growth and what to invest in. So let's get right to it. So today I have Lauren Coulson, owner of Coulson Strategies, helping business owners make the best informed decisions through financial information and empowering other entrepreneurs with the tools that they need to feel more confident. I've been looking forward to our conversation together. And even though when money comes up, people tend to be like, no, no, thanks. Or they might zone out or they feel overwhelmed until they really dig in and learn about how they can use money and tell it where to go. So this is a topic I've loved, and I'm so excited to really talk about money leaks and knowing how to find them. So welcome, Lauren.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Me too. So I really wanted to jump right in because there's always so much to say about money and finances. So will you tell us how you actually got started into this passion of finances and then helping others grow in their small businesses as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I started in accounting and finance at large corporate publicly traded companies. Hmm. And while I enjoyed the work, I can't say it was like fulfilling a passion. And I knew I always wanted to start my own business from when I was younger, but didn't know what it was going to be. And so I found myself at a startup company, a high growth startup, and just the entrepreneurial spirit and the culture and everything about it. I was like, wow, this is a place where I can use everything I've learned and what I enjoy to do, but in a way that really makes me feel passion because I'm helping the CEO, the senior leaders make really good decisions by using their financial data. And so once I got a taste for what that looked like, I was like, you know what? I think I can take this to the masses. And so went out on my own to be able to help more startups and small businesses really, you know, set up a solid financial infrastructure and get to a place where they feel really confident with their numbers. Yes. And that brings us to today.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting having women on here talk about their passion for finances. And I know in the past few years, it seems to have been shifting, or maybe that's just my perspective of it being not as scary for women. And they're really grabbing a hold of it and realizing they're good with money and they're good at investing and telling it where to go. But I feel like prior to that, it seems like the narrative has been, we're not good with money, or we're not as good, or we're not taking action as strongly. So what are your opinions on that and that shift?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we're seeing more as just kind of more women enter the market running accounting firms and are sharing content and information. It's making it kind of, it's opening the door for those conversations. We still see it where there's a lot of shame because these successful business owners know how to run their business super well, but they don't know the financial side of it. And they don't, they're not making the, you know, best, most informed decisions. And I get it, but I liken it to when you start a business, you're not good at everything. You don't master the marketing. You don't master the operations, the finances, everything. Cause if you did, then maybe you would start your own business providing those services. Right.
Yeah.
And so there's really no shame in the fact that you don't know it. Like anything, you figure it out, you research online, you find resources, you get in different groups where you can talk about it, you hire and work with, in this case, bookkeepers and fractional CFOs that can really teach you your numbers specifically related to your business. And I think just in this kind of outsourced model and remote work, there's just more opportunity for that to happen, which is really amazing for women and really, really empowering them.
Yeah. You know, you said the word shame, and I had to write that down because I've talked about in the past, and I'm sure you've talked about this a lot too. I feel like there tends to be two groups of women where it's that shame and money is evil and bad and we shouldn't want it. And we should just want simplicity, which there's wonderful things in simplicity. Don't, you know, hear me wrong there. But then there's that other group that are so passionate about money and want more and more. And I really want to bridge that gap of, you don't have to go from one to the other. You can know where your money is going and you can be passionate about growing it, but not be money hungry in a way that's the only thing. You can still want the family and to be at home. But a lot of those women, like I go to women's groups still and they're like, money is evil. And it's the root of all evil. And I'm like, you are quoting that way wrong, first of all. But, you know, it's just.
Yeah, it makes me sad to hear that.
Yes. Yes. Me too. Because we have I feel we have a huge ability to be good with money. And we just feel that shame in there. So that's so interesting that you already spoke on that.
Yeah.
So now, okay, everyone listening, we're ready. We're sitting in front of our accounts and maybe feeling super overwhelmed. And we're thinking like, all right, so tell me something I can do. How can we shift into how to conduct business that will make the numbers easier to manage? Let's say we're sitting in front of our accounts. What are some maybe first steps or things that we can do to just help it feel manageable?
Yeah. I think one of the best first steps is to utilize an accounting software.
Mm-hmm.
And so we love QuickBooks Online. And it's pretty, if you know the kind of 3 to 4 things you need to do in there, if you're doing it yourself, it's pretty user-friendly. And what this does is it allows you to easily track where all your money is going, mm-hmm. assuming that you've got everything set up correctly.
Yep.
And so having it in a software that can produce financial statements for you and code everything where it should go is kind of step one, because garbage in, garbage out, right? So if you get yourself in a place of making sure that everything's getting recorded, then you can kind of move on to the, okay, now let's look at the numbers
right.
step.
Right.
And so you really want to take some time to go through your financial statements with a fine-tuned comb and really understand what's happening in my business. Mm-hmm. And the more you know your numbers and kind of what to expect of, oh, we spend this amount on marketing each month. Okay, well, if that jumps 1 month, that's going to trigger you and be like, wait a minute, why are we at 8K this month when it's usually 5K? What's going on here? Did we forget to turn an ad off? Did we pay a vendor twice? Like what happened here? So the more you kind of know those trends, the better you can spot inconsistencies, issues, problems before it goes too far.
Yes. And can we break that down even more if people are just starting a business or they just feel overwhelmed? I know for like myself, it was making sure there's separate bank accounts, which seems like 101, but I know a lot of times it just gets messy and easier and we don't want to pay the fees or whatever that looks like. So for mm-hmm. myself, it was always separate bank accounts. It was giving a credit card for my business, and that really helped separate finances later for my CPA and bookkeeping and all of that as well. Are there some of those little things that you suggest doing right away as well?
Yes. And I want to kind of expand on that a little bit too, because it's so important to keep your business and personal expenses segregated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not only from the IRS tax perspective, that's super important. But when we talk about knowing your numbers and looking at your financials, you really want to see a true picture of how your business is performing. So the more you put personal in and out and you're commingling funds, the noisier and harder it is to really understand how the business itself is performing. Mm. Because you want to know what are the costs that it takes to actually produce this revenue? Mm. And what are the costs it takes to run this business? Like no frills. What does it need? And when you've got all this other noise in there, it makes it really hard to understand what that looks like and then try and understand, well, what is my cash balance going to look like next month? And can I make this big investment because you've got, you know, the two different funds together? So
absolutely.
I just want to add my 2 cents there.
Yes.
Then you made a comment about bank fees. So banking has come a long way in terms of all the different banks and online financial institutions there are now. And so there are many really small business friendly banks that offer no fees, offer a lot of different perks, for example, like promotions and discounts on other different services we use as small businesses. You know, great cash back. I always recommend having a credit card to maximize any sort of cash back or rewards.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a great opportunity. I don't want that to be a roadblock for anybody to say, I don't want to have to pay more, when there's a lot of free, good, valuable resources out there for your business.
Right. No, even when I first started about 14 years ago, and I eventually got my, you know, separate account way too late into the business, which is why I suggest it now, I did have to pay some fees. And because my business was so small at the time, I was paying the largest part of the fee because I wasn't gaining any profit in there. However, they had that system, I was paying a lot of money per month to have that account. I no longer have to do that. My business is larger now, but I'm paying no fees, like you said, with the bank that I use. And that's been huge for my business as well, because I've got a whole bunch of other stuff to pay, including myself, you know?
So. Sure. And when you're starting out, paying even $20 a month to have a bank account, that hurts.
It hurts. Yes, it absolutely does. And I love that you also suggested the credit card. I know that is... there's so many things you could say about credit card, for and against. I'm for it as long as I use it as like a debit. If I don't have money in it, I'm not spending it, you know, that kind of thing, and pay it off. But what I love about it is the one that I use is at the end of the year, or if you want to do month, you can download it and see where everything's going by all those categories you said, whether it's marketing or hotel and flight, like all of that. And it makes life just a little bit easier at the end of the year. So I absolutely love that as well. Yes. And I know there's such a huge variety in a way to conduct a business, and there's so many types of businesses. Are there some things, though, that you suggest looking into for small businesses to invest in first and foremost? And I know you already said, like, the utilizing accounts and the structure of all of that.
Yeah, and accounting software. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really important. And it depends what your cash looks like, right? Mm-hmm. So if you... are, for example, like a service-based company, and you're starting out as the sole service provider, growing a team, you tend to have a little bit more cash flow coming in to get started. And so at that point, I think it's really wise to be able to outsource as much as you can reasonably afford, because your time as the business owner is best spent on actually building the business, right? So assuming, you know, growing is your goal, you know, you're probably sales and marketing, and you're setting the vision for the company, and you can be doing some of the services in this example. So if it's, you know, hiring your weaknesses is a great place to start, or hiring the things that you hate to do and are not good, you're not good at, is going to give you the opportunity to really focus your time in the areas that are going to grow the business. And I know this is hard for some people, where it's like, well, I'm going to make less money than if I hire someone else to do it. Like, if I do it, it's free. But that's really going to stifle your growth, because you're going to just burn yourself out by taking everything on. And so one thing we always say is, don't sacrifice long-term gain for short-term gain.
Right.
And so while it may save you money now to do it, it's going to essentially hurt you in the long run and take you longer to grow if you're doing everything in your business.
Yeah. And I love that you said that, to hire in your weak areas there, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, if you work really hard at those weak areas, they can become great. And the longer I've been in business, and the more people I listen to and the mentors I have, that's really the opposite. For me, it's, I'm going to work on the things I'm really good at, because I can become phenomenal at them. The things that I'm pretty terrible at, I'm only ever going to be probably good. So to me, it's not worth my time when, like, taxes and bookkeeping is not my thing. So yeah, I have a CPA and I have the bookkeeping, because it's going to make me better at the things I'm already really good at. So I love that you said that as well.
Yes. I had a mentor share that with me once, when I took one of those personality tests and talked about my weaknesses. And I was like, I'm going to have to work on these. And he's like, no, you shouldn't. I mean, working on those is going to be really draining. Right. You don't enjoy it. You're not good at it. You need to focus on your strengths and find people that complement your weaknesses. And I was like, wow.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Because there's people like you who are wonderful at those things, and I'm just like, I'm okay at them.
You know? Right. Like, just... our team loves it. It lights us up. So give us the opportunity to live our passion for you.
Yes.
Focus on your strengths. It's a win-win.
So going the opposite direction, then what are some things that, and I know this could be such a huge variety of things as well, that we should maybe skip in investing in right away or get around in small businesses that tend to eat up profits? Like for mine in photography, it was like latest and greatest gadgets and gear or downloading different apps that I just saw other people using and all the shiny things. What are some things that maybe, I know generally that's a tough thing to say, that we could skip right away?
So I think one of these is software expenses. So don't get me wrong, I think depending on what your business is, there can be very valuable software that you like really need to have to run. But there, I mean, there's probably a new SaaS company, probably thousands popping up each day, right? And so it's like a new shiny, like we'll do this and we'll automate this. And one, it can be a really big distraction. Two, when you're doing the software, oh, it's just $20 a month. Well, that adds up if you've got 10, right? And are you really utilizing the tools to their benefits? Are there tools that you're using that are competing and doing the same things? And also, when you're a new business owner, this may sound crazy, but I feel like sometimes you got to kind of hash out your process almost manually just for a little bit to really understand, like, where the weak links are and understand how it should flow before you just throw it in some software.
I totally agree. One that comes up for me, now I went to school for graphic design. So when Canva started to become popular, I was like, okay, I'm going to try it. The free version, that's fine. Not investing much money there. And so many people love it and it's great for their business because it makes that part of their life easy. It makes mine more angry because I know how to do it real quick in Photoshop. So that for me, I would never pay for. Now, do I use it more depending on? Yes, I can use it, absolutely. But that's something for me that wouldn't make sense, but is a great tool for a lot of other businesses. But I had to try it and weed it out, just like you said.
Yeah, that's a great example. Yeah, and then just like the time that you take away from doing other things, if you're like, okay, now here's the next thing, and here's the next thing.
So even though those are already like money leaks that we started to get into, what are some ways that we can start finding money leaks, and what do those even look like in a business?
Yeah. So I want to talk about the software one just a little bit more. This is something that gets away with us. So a lot of us will say, oh, well, I'll just sign up for the free trial, right? But then you have to remember to stop when it bills you in a month. And also if you are growing a team and you are, buying additional licenses for those teams, and then somebody leaves and you forget to offboard them and you're paying for that seat for various different months. So we always recommend that companies do, in the very least, an annual software audit of the different tools that they're paying for, to see, one, do they truly need them all? Are they actually paying for the number of seats that they're using? And is there any that they're paying for that they don't use? And we actually have a tracker for this that I can share with
Yes,
you and
please.
the audience, that you can kind of say, okay, here is all the tools I'm listing. Who's using them? What do they cost? And really kind of dive in to what those software expenses look like. But that's just one example in the expense category. I mean, we talked about making sure that you know what is going into each expense so you can see, is there anything else that we're paying for that we're not using? Creating a budget is a really great way to give yourself a roadmap for the business on what, essentially, what are your expectations for the business? What type of revenue are you expecting to bring in, and what do those expenses look like? And when you have that roadmap, then you can say, okay, what's actually happening? Like, this is what I expected, what's actually happening? And you're like, oh, wow, some of these costs are a lot more than I thought because of price increases in the market, or having to use a different vendor. So that's a really great step to kind of align like expectations to reality and make sure you're on the same page, that make sure your brain is on the same page as what's actually happening in your business.
I love already that you said budget, even though people hear it and they go, oh, no
I
thanks.
know, I know. Let's take the out of a budget.
I actually love it. It's fun for me because it's now become a game where I'm like, ooh, I can put X amount of money into a savings or my IRA, whatever that looks like. And now I'm like, how can I bump that up? How can I push that more? And it's become a fun game, but not until you get those numbers down of where's your money going? How much is coming in? And like for a business for me, I have slower seasons and faster months. And so I really have to be diligent in my numbers anyway, because my pay structure is going to look different. But
absolutely. A budget is a really great place to see the seasonality in your business and help prepare. Like, oh shoot, we got our slow months coming up. Let's reserve some cash so we can still pay for our ongoing costs.
Absolutely. And as soon as you said, like, let's look at all the software, it's so funny you said that, because yesterday I was looking through, just let's see where all of my money's going. I feel like there's a little bit more money going out. And in my Adobe Creative Suite, I need Photoshop, Lightroom, all the things. But somehow it had signed me up for other stuff that I do not remember signing up for. And that was an extra $20 a month, which could be going to something that is worth it for me. That's a huge thing to start to go through. Even like I said, in 14 years in business, it's still going to pop up, and you're still going to find new things. And then the other thing with budget I wanted to say that was so, you talked about marketing and where that's going, and I've moved 5 states in 13 years. And what I found is I always budget differently at the beginning to kind of play or experiment. And I never feel like they're failures. It's always, this didn't work. Good. Never doing that again. Let's see what works. And so I think it's important to also reiterate that budgets don't have to stay the same, and it doesn't have to be that much money per month going into marketing. It might look completely different. And even if it doesn't go the way you want, I don't think it's a fail.
No, I love that you say that. Yes, because this is not the money mindset around budget isn't to create some really structured, you know, set of numbers that if you don't meet them, you need to beat yourself up and you're a failure and your business isn't going to make it. No, not at all. It is a tool. It is a roadmap, right? So it is a mapping out your expectations. What do we think? What do we want? What are our goals? And if we don't get there, that's fine. We understand why. Why did we not make these numbers? And how do we adjust? Meaning, let's do better next time, or let's adjust the budget because it's actually not reasonable in practice. A lot of things we think we're going to do. Oh, I'm going to charge this amount. Well, that's not what the market is paying. So that's not reasonable. So I need to adjust my budget down because that just can't happen right now.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I really do love about budgets is once you get it down to the very like bones of that structure, it eventually actually allows you to get more because now you know where that money's coming in and where it's going. And so then eventually you can purchase different software that'll help you or purchase that gear that you do really want to use. And so it does allow you to live more freeing eventually. It's just right away, you got to be a little bit more tight knit. So you understand eventually you can tell your money where to go. I love budgets, but that's just.
Yes, I love that. And on that note, I mean, when we're talking about money leaks, and this is related to that and on the software topic, is there's certain discounts you can get for paying things annually or in full. Yes. So on the software, I mean, a lot of times they'll give you like up to a 30% discount for paying for the full year. Yes. And so that's a great savings if you can swing it at the time. So having that budget and roadmap is, okay, I'm going to outlay this cash now. I'm going to be a little bit tight, but I know that it's saving me money in the long run. And so that's worth it.
Yes. Now, do you use Squarespace as well for your website?
I do.
Yes. Okay. So I was searching on your website, and I do, and I love it. And that's a great example of it because they give a huge discount if you pay per year. And at first you're like, oh, this hurts. Like you said, especially in the beginning where that big chunk definitely hurts, but over time it's easier to budget for it. Long run, it's not all this money coming out every month. You just know that big chunk is coming out once a year and you just have to, like you said, budget for it. So I actually love it that way. Because it helps me feel like I have more money, which I know that sounds backwards, but that's
not just but that's like absolutely that. True. Yeah, with the discount, you do have more money.
No, you're right. So on one of the things that I would say I hear most often is hard for small businesses, and maybe this is just who I'm talking to because I am not in the financial world, is booking and taxes, and specifically for new people, they're not even sure they're doing it right. And even in the long time I've been in business, I'm still like, oh my gosh, as I'm sending this to my CPA, even though it'll be just fine, it's a daunting task. So are there ways that we can maybe set ourselves up for something that makes it more manageable and making tax time and bookkeeping feel better?
Yes. So I think having a regular cadence of doing your books is one going to take a large yearly project and break it down into bite-sized pieces, right? So if you, and it depends on the size of your business and what, you know, the number of transaction looks like. But if you're doing your own bookkeeping and you set aside an hour a month and you say, I'm going to make sure I record all my transactions and what we say, close the month, get the month all recorded and done. That's going to do a couple different things. That's going to make it way easier come tax time, because you're like, I only got one month to do, and then right. Everything's done and I send it off. So that gives you a huge relief. And two, when you're doing it monthly and you're recording those transactions, that's the time where you can really look and analyze everything real time and say, okay, how'd it go last month? Where did I spend my money? Where are some of these leaks happening before it gets too far, right? Because let's say you do your whole year in January and you realize, oh shoot, I paid for all this stuff I didn't need to, or something like that. It's like, well, you just lost that money, right? Like there's no going back. Whereas if you catch it in 1 month, then you're like, okay, phew, I canceled this. I'm not paying for it the rest of the year.
Yes. And thinking about just tax time in general is always a woohoo thing for a lot of small businesses. And I do have to say that investing in bookkeeping and CPA has been huge for me, because even though it still makes me slightly nervous, because we're always nervous about it, it makes me go, well, no matter what, even if they come back to me with questions, I know that it's being done correctly. And I don't have to worry about that part. In the long run, I'm not going to be getting in trouble. It's just short term. How can I manage it before going to someone who knows what they're doing? So
absolutely. And I want to add to with outsourcing bookkeeping, which I'm obviously a huge fan of.
Yes.
You're having somebody else do the work.
Yes, yeah.
But I also think it's really important that you don't outsource it all out of your brain. Mm. And what I mean by that is you still need to look at the reports and know the numbers for your business. Even though someone else is doing them, what you should receive are your financial statements each month. You know that they were prepared timely and accurately. And now you can look at it and be like, what's happening in my business?
Right.
Because when you're saying, oh, someone else is doing it, they've got it handled, fantastic. Okay, great feeling. But you still need to know what's happening with the numbers in your business so you can make the best decisions.
Right. Even as, I mean, mine is still pretty small and it's just me as far as shooting, it's important for me to look almost daily, for sure weekly, to see, oh, that invoice went out. Why didn't they pay? And oh, that shouldn't have gone out, or whatever that looks like. All those finances still fall back on me. So if I'm not checking them, I'm the only one that can correct some of that as well. So I totally agree. And that's not fun, always some of the fun stuff either, but if I want to be paying myself, then it's fun. So, you know,
right, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I actually came across something that you posted not too long ago that I'd love to share. And it's in business, especially owning a business, always feels a small business. It feels like our baby, that no one else can do it. And even after it could be running smoothly for a while with systems and strategies, we often take on that mentality that we need to be working constantly to keep it going. And you said, and quote, working hard doesn't mean working 10 to 15 hour days. It means being super strategic with your time. And I really wanted to touch on that as we talk about finances and getting in your business and doing all the things, because I know for myself, when I first started, I felt like I had to be accessible all the time. And that was the only way it was going to work, when really that's the opposite of why we get into business in the first place.
Yes.
You went in to talk about a few things after that to be intentional about your sales pipeline and future cash flow and leading indicators. So will you speak about focusing on the things that will move the money needle rather than those time wasters or things that we don't need to be doing all the time to grow?
Yeah, exactly. And time is the one thing where we, no matter how hard we try, we can't get any more of it.
Yeah.
So as a small business owner, I think that's the very most important thing in your business, right? Is time and how you're using it. So we talked about this a little bit earlier in terms of Are you doing the things that you're not good at, that you don't enjoy, that are draining your creative energy and bringing you down? Because that's not where your time is best spent, right? A lot of us as small business owners, we are the face, we are the brand, we are the sales, right? And so if you're talking about growth, that's probably where you need to be focusing in terms of getting clients in the door or getting your product known out there to sell. So I think it's really important to essentially map out your goals and understand what your areas of strength align with those goals. And in reality, not all of us can afford to outsource things, but understanding, okay, what has to be done to move, to get closer to these goals versus what would be a nice to have to get to these goals versus, honestly, I just wanted to do that because it sounded fun, but it is not going to help me hit my goals.
Right.
having that kind of analysis. I mean, for example, I've been in business, it was 3 years in May. We did not even have a website for the first year because I was too busy getting our next clients, serving our clients. It didn't matter. I was talking to people. I was telling them what we did. I was building that rapport. They weren't like, oh, but you don't have a website. They were like, oh, I talked to you and this feels like a really great fit based off what I need. Like, right. Those are the kind of things where I didn't spend all this money to have all this nice, shiny things. I just focused on what mattered most to me, that was getting the clients in and getting that revenue. And then eventually it was like, okay, now let's build a website. Now let's do this. But understanding like kind of what it is you really need to do, especially in those early stages, is important.
And I know it depends on the business, but I think back to conversations I've had with, I'm going to use photographer because that's what I am. When I think about photographers just starting, they think they need all of the things in place. Yeah. They need the website that costs thousands of dollars and they need all this. In reality, even though there might be some potential clients who go, oh, you don't have a website, odds are most of them aren't going there anyway. They're going on social media to check you out to see if you're actually updating or your new stuff, all of the things moving that you're active. And so really, again, depending on the business, you can start in a free location until you build, just like you said. And yeah. of course, word of mouth too, but it just feels like we are overwhelmed at first that we need all of the things and we don't. Not until we continue.
Really don't. And it can be almost a little bit hard because you're like, okay, I'm launching my business. I want this beautiful logo. These are my branding colors. Yes. I want someone to build the site. And it's like your baby and you're all excited. You want to go shopping for your baby, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, rein it back a little bit until you kind of, do you have, number one, do you have a service or do you have a product that people want? Mm-hmm. Because I've seen business owners that have gone all in to build out something that there isn't a need for. No one wants it. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad that they spent, you know, $5,000 on a website for nothing.
For nothing. Yeah, absolutely. And not to say that websites aren't important, because mine, and I'm sure yours is too, vitally important now to my business. However, when I started years ago, it really wasn't, you know, oh, good. I got one person that went to my website this month. Like, there's just really not a lot in it. And of course it takes years to build the SEO behind it and all the backlinks and everything else you need for a website, but it's not necessary right away until you know that you can continue to move forward. And there's ways, like, I think Squarespace is very reasonable. And at first I was so nervous about it because it was new when I got it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But I mean, it's grown so huge, and there's ways that you can do things a little bit cheaper just to kind of get your feet off the ground. So,
yeah. And there's so much out there. I mean, there's so much noise on social media of you have to have this and you have to do this and you have to optimize your SEO and you have to have this. And yes, all of that is important for a growing business, but it's like when you're starting, let's slow down and just really make sure that you have a viable service or product and really hone in on delivering that the best that you can before you go down that kind of the optimization part of the business.
Right. No, you're absolutely right about that. And I think back to even watching other people in the same business, as you see something that's working for them and you think you have to do it that way as well. And that's just not the case. A lot of times I would try things as somebody else in my same service industry would try, and it would not work for me because that just wasn't my model. And And that's totally okay to figure that out. But just know that what is working for somebody, even in a similar business, might not be for you. So figuring out and weeding through, like we talked about earlier, is important. And it's just going to take time sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you grow and you're starting to optimize and you're maybe hiring a team and getting some things off of your plate, I would say it's great to have kind of a money fund that you can use to try out different things, right? Mm-hmm. So let's try this marketing channel. Like, let's try paid ads and see if if it's going to work for us, and with parameters around it, right? Yeah. Not just throw money to it. You know, let's kind of understand what the potential ROI is here. Mm-hmm. But it's okay to make those investments and fail.
Yeah.
Because you're going to learn so much of, okay, I've actually learned a lot about what our target market is and isn't. And sometimes learning what it isn't is really valuable.
Oh, it's sometimes more valuable. I think about right. This immediately brought this up for me. Every time I'd move to a different state, I would set aside some money for marketing, specifically with a magazine, just because mm-hmm. I just wanted to try it in each location. And I will say that it definitely shifted how I viewed advertising in that way. And it was, I started to shift going, I'm not going to get any business from this ad, but what it will do is get me in front of the people that work at that magazine to be invited to different things to then network. And so even trying out those things, but maybe shifting how our mind sees that money, I think has been vitally important, because now I know I'm not going to get a client, but what I'm going to do is get connections and networking events. And I think that goes for any kind of money that you're putting out there too. You might not see a client right away, but it could bring you potential clients down the road in a different avenue.
That's such a good point. When we talk about ROI, return on investment, mm-hmm. it's not always a tangible number we mm-hmm. can put on it, right? Because you can't truly value your connections and network and what it's like to be in a room. So I think that's a really great call out, as long as you're being responsible and not, right. you know, tons of money in here, but really, like, you know, putting the money into it and then seeing what develops and tracking too. I'm a huge fan of, you know, tracking data and stuff. Even if it's like, I went to this event, I met these 10 people, they introduced me to here, and you can kind of see that, like, tree, if you will, of like how those connections happen. So you can understand, okay, I want to go to more events. What are the kind of events that I should go to, or what are the kind of magazines I should be introduced to, and right. kind of under, you know, make that data-driven decisions.
Mm-hmm. So what are some things in our business? I know we talked about this a little bit already, that we can check up on as far as finances today. And I know you already said to see if there's doubles of everything in software, but if people are feeling overwhelmed, what are some other things that they can do to start? I know for me, like my example was in systems with software to help me down the road. And that was things like I use HoneyBook or SmugMug or Smart Albums to make sure that my work was quicker to get back to the client. So are there some things that they're sitting and they're going, oh my gosh, where are some places to start and some systems to use?
Yeah. So really understanding how your business operates. And if you do have a team, or, you know, use some contractors and different vendors, mm-hmm. Understanding and making sure that you're utilizing the resources effectively, because it's also easy to just hire out. And you're like, okay, but wait a minute. What is everybody actually doing? Is this effective? Do we need to, you know, reallocate responsibilities, or what makes the most sense? So having a really good pulse on what's happening with your resources.
Mm-hmm.
Pricing strategies. So understanding your prices and what's happening in the market and what kind of value you're bringing for your service, and understanding what the gross profit is. So how much money are you making? How much money are you making when you just look at the cost to service that revenue? Mm-hmm. So in your case, as a photographer, let's say you had somebody on your team doing it, you charge $10,000 for a wedding. You have to pay your photographer $7,000 for that wedding. So you're only making $3,000 just for that event. Like, not even to mention like all the costs of the business that you have, right. like cameras right. and all of that. So really understanding, is that 3,000 enough? Do those prices need to be higher? Are you overpaying for resources that aren't the right fit or aren't producing the, you know, top tier product that you need? There's kind of many different ways to angle it. So it's really understanding all those kind of different facets of what money am I making in just alone on my service or alone on my product before I even have to pay rent for my office.
No, that's a great way to even segue into, I mean, back, it's really budget again, but back to getting the bones of the, what are you paying for each thing and writing that out? So you know how much money you even need to be making and then to pay yourself and to pay others and all those things. So that is so important.
Right.
I would love to shift into what is something maybe that's been coming up for you lately. It can be business, it can be personal, it can be something that's on your heart or you read in a book that you would love to share with those listening today to encourage.
You know, it's kind of funny because we opened with this conversation around women and thinking they're, you know, the scary part of the finances. And I've actually happened to see this. I do the sales for our company. So I'm talking to a lot of different small business owners, and the women entrepreneurs are my favorite. No offense to everyone else. but I've had a couple where I've had tears on the call because we're really kind of diving into what's going on, and just the lack of clarity around the financials. And it breaks my heart because there is that shame and fear and kind of like, I don't even want to tell anyone that I don't know what this means. And I mean, we pride ourselves on taking the scary out of the finances because not only are we your partner in this from the bookkeeping side, but we're here to educate you as well. Because again, like if you asked me to describe a marketing funnel, I would be like, I have no idea. Like that's not what I do. And so I would love if someone would like sit me down and explain in my business, how does that work? And so that's exactly what we do with the people that we work with is, hey, all right, here's your financials. Let's go through them together. Let's talk about what this means. Any question that you have, let's go through it. And let's do that each month until you feel comfortable. Or heck, let's just do it every month to get you into the groove of doing this together and looking at this. And so that's where we're really trying to differentiate ourselves, because that just breaks my heart. And I don't think that the reason that any business should fail is that people don't understand the finances, because you can have a freaking amazing service and product and be the best business owner, but if you don't have a grip on the finance, have a strong understanding and kind of stable force for the business.
Yes, absolutely. And you said something really wonderful that I really loved. And I wrote down that one of the biggest parts is looking at it. Because a lot of times when it does feel scary, people tend to just avoid looking at the statements, what's coming in, what's going out. And so for you to take that part out of it and do that with them, it creates that team and support. So they just feel encouraged when it's scary to even look at the numbers. And once people start to see the numbers, sometimes it's like, oh, there's more coming in than I thought. And it can be a wonderful journey to having a passion like you do for it.
Yes.
Now, I would love to know, is there anything new on the horizon for you, something you're working on that you can tell us about, or anything that's exciting coming up for you in your business?
We are growing. We are looking for our new team member. We are taking on new clients. And it's just really exciting for me because we've hit kind of a new stage of growth. And I love, love, love meeting all these small business owners, learning about their business. Like some of them have the coolest products. We have a few like e-com dog companies that are fantastic.
And
our team is like pet lovers. So like, we're just like all over this. But it's really exciting to see and watch, you know, as someone who built this, like see our team grow and the passion for our team and the, you know, clients that we serve has been really exciting for me.
Oh, I love hearing that. Well, congratulations to you then too. That's amazing.
Thank you so much.
I would love to leave with how everyone listening can find you, follow you, learn more, contact you. And I know that you have a freebie in store for them as well. Will you share those?
Absolutely. You can find me on LinkedIn, Lauren Colson, Colson. Our website is colsonstrategies.com. You can reach out to us from the site, shoot me a DM on LinkedIn. And that's pretty much where we're hanging.
I love that. Thank you so much. It's so nice to know that finances don't have to be scary and that you can just encourage people in where they are is perfectly okay. And there's growth to come out of it, especially if, like what you said, your service and product is wonderful. It's just adding all those bits and pieces. So
thank you so much for having me and letting me exude my passion for the last hour.
I love it too. So thank you so much, Lauren.